Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This last Thanksgiving, I took my niece out to the edge of the wilderness and I left her there. I didn't mean to take her to the wilderness. The wilderness was the last thing on my mind. I had been in one of those factory card outlet stores, and there was a bin of coloring books there. And I looked into that bin of coloring books. They were all wrapped in cellophane, so you couldn't page through them, but I saw one that had the title Bible Stories. And on the cover, there was this picture of Moses with his arms outstretched and this raging water underneath him. And when you turned it over and looked at the book on the back, there was a picture of King David. And I thought, this is great. I'm going to be able to spend Thanksgiving with my niece, and I'll take out this coloring book, and she can sit next to me. She can color the pictures, and I can tell her the stories about God. I know, it's sentimental, but I thought, what better way to share in my niece's growth in faith? So I bought the books. Thanksgiving comes, my brother and sister-in-law come into the house, and I show Emma the coloring books, and her eyes light up, and she runs over to her mom, and she gets this package of coloring pencils. Now, I had expected crayons, but she uses pencils, and they have these erasers, so you can erase, I guess. So she sits down with me and she takes out that book with Moses. And I look at it and I say, look, this is Moses. Moses is making the waters move apart. And she's amazed and she opens up that book. Now, she didn't start on the first page. She just kind of turned into the front. And there's this picture of this little baby Moses in a basket in the water. And I said, Emma, this is baby Moses. And we talked about coloring the water blue and the basket brown and the grass is green. But before we started coloring anything, she flips back a page because she wanted to see what had come before. And there's this picture of this big Egyptian guard, and he's about to tear a baby out of this woman's arms. And she has tears coming out of her eyes. And I glance down at the bottom of the page, and I see the word slain. And I think, uh-oh. Now, Emma isn't reading yet, so she said to me, that man looks mean. And I said, yeah, he's a mean man. Let's color the baby Moses. So I try to turn back the page, but Emma flips all the way into the middle of the plagues. And we have this picture of this hillside, and it is covered with cattle and sheep, but they're all dead. Really? There is a picture of cows on their back with four legs in the air. I thought, this is disgusting. And I wanted to get out, but Emma turns the page and there is a man running out of a doorway with bumps all over his body. She says, what is that? And I said, those are sores. And I'm thinking, I can't believe I'm going to color these boils red. Now, just at this moment, my mom, who's in the kitchen, says, could somebody come in and help me? And much to my brother's dismay, I jumped at the chance. I didn't mean to take Emma to the edge of the wilderness. I really didn't, but I did mean to leave her there. My brother was sitting there. She was right next to my brother. And when I got up to leave, she really didn't notice I was leaving at all. You should have seen her. Her eyes were wide with wonder and terror at what was going on in these pages. She was actually trying to sound out the words. Now, when I got into the kitchen, she must have turned a few pages back because I overheard her say to my brother, Daddy, these fish look dead. And I thought, well, she's got erasers, you know, erase the blue, color the Nile red, blood red, right? Terror and wonder at the very edge of the wilderness. Those are the gifts that I didn't intend to give my niece this Thanksgiving. But those are also the gifts that Mark does intend to give to you. Terror and wonder at the coming of Jesus. Mark is beginning the good news. And for him, the good news does not begin with a picture of the baby Jesus. For him, the good news begins with John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer is pointing to Jesus. So you have Mark giving you John, and John giving you Jesus. And the Jesus that John gives you, the Jesus that he proclaims, is so unlike the Jesus that we know. You know the Jesus that we're familiar with, the gentle Jesus. He's there in soft colors and flowing robes, hugging the children. You know the Jesus we know, the laughing Jesus. His head's thrown back, his eyes are bright, his mouth's wide open like you just told him a really good one. That's not the Jesus that John is preaching. For John, it's a different story. When John comes into your midst, he comes kind of like an unwelcome guest at dinner. When he walks in the room, you can smell him. His clothes have that stench of smoke. He smells like somebody who has just escaped a great fire. And when he sits down, nobody asks him where he's been, because you don't want to know. You don't want to know what he's seen, and yet his eyes tell the story. His eyes are wild. They're filled with visions of fire and destruction, and this fire is not one that happened in the past, not one he escaped by running away. It's a fire that is yet to come. This John has visions of the wrath of the Almighty God pouring out on civilization, on our lives, on our worship, destroying the wicked, refining the righteous. No wonder this John doesn't hang around in king's palaces or dress in royal robes. No wonder he stands on the edge of the wilderness. What he has seen changes how he values everything in life. His eyes, they're filled with a vision of the future. But his clothing is a memory of the past. Animal skins. He looks like Elijah. He looks like a prophet who knows the God who reveals himself in the wilderness. This John knows a God who can touch the top of a mountain and cause it to burst forth in holy flame. He knows the wonder of this God. This God is able to sustain his people for 40 years, feeding them the bread of angels. And he knows the terror of this God. In a moment, this God can destroy these people. Send forth snakes. Their tongues are fiery. When they bite you, it burns you to death. This God is not tame. He's not approachable. He's not gentle. And when he laughs in derision at the destruction of his foes. And so John stands here. His eyes see the future. His clothing looks to the past. But his words are your present. He tells you now, prepare. Turn from your sin and prepare to meet Jesus. And the way he describes this Jesus, this is not the gentle Jesus, not the laughing Jesus. Listen to what he says. He says, after me comes one who is stronger than I. Not more tolerant, not more understanding, not more approachable, not more likable, more powerful than I. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And John sets the tone from the very beginning of Mark so that you see the terror and the wonder of the power that has come in Jesus. And there is terror in this Jesus. He walks into a synagogue in Capernaum. He preaches, and after he's done preaching, what happens? You hear a voice, but it's not an earthly voice. You hear a demon crying out that they are afraid. He has come to destroy them, and he casts them out. In the middle of worship, a sermon becomes an assault upon Satan. And when you bring this man, you're sick. He begins to speak of their soul. Wherever he goes, your life, it breaks open. So that instead of sickness, you're talking of salvation. In the midst of worship, you hear it assault on the devil. That's the terror of this Jesus. But there is a wonder in his power too. And the wonder is simply this, that just as quickly as this power over death, over the devil, over sin, just as quickly as this power appears, so quickly it can disappear. As this man enters into suffering, he's betrayed by one of his disciples, he's brutalized by the Romans, and he's hung on a tree. And there on the tree, abandoned by his disciples, abandoned by God, you see this one stronger than John, die. And the terrible wonder is that he dies for what you've done. This is the power of God, but it's made known in weakness. This one stronger than John is strong enough to bear your eternal damnation for sin. This crucified one takes the wrath, takes the anger, takes the fury of this almighty God and dies under it and leaves you with just one word, a promise. I will rise and I will come for you. So, what are you doing for Christmas this year? You going to your fiancé's? Spend time with a new family tradition? A relative's coming in town to spend time with you? Planning sentimental moments, maybe with coloring books in your kids? Are you planning a long trip to visit your sister, the first time since she told you she had cancer? Whatever you do for Christmas, don't forget about John. Because John is here with wild clothing and wild eyes. And he is here to remind you that when you prepare for Christmas, you're not preparing for a day. You're not preparing for a sentimental moment in the dark church with candles singing Silent Night. When you prepare for Jesus, you're preparing for a person. And that person has prepared an eternity for you. This is the beginning of Mark's gospel, and he wants you to know. He wants you to know what God is doing for you. Regardless of what you're doing for Christmas, what is God doing for you? God is tearing open the heavens, and he's coming for you. He has baptized you with the water and the Spirit. You are his, and he is coming. And you've seen what this God can do. He can take the verse of a hymn and turn it into a war on Satan. He can take a time of sickness and turn it into a time to talk about the salvation of the soul. This God is wild. He is mighty. He is awesome. He is terrible. And the most important thing is this God is so powerful. And just at that moment when you need his power the most, this God can seem to disappear and leave you with just a word. I will rise. And I will come for you. And so there you are, waiting, trusting in this crucified one, trusting that in his weakness there is power, trusting that in his promise there is fulfillment, trusting that in his dying there is love. There is a love that is stronger than your death, no matter what everyone says to you. And if that's where you are, well, then John has taken you right to the edge of the wilderness. You're kind of like my niece, just beginning to read this gospel, eyes wide open with terror and wonder at the power come in Jesus. And that's where I intend to leave you. Amen.